So in the parable we're going to look at today, it answers a question that Jesus' disciples, his closest followers, were asking. And it's really probably a question that a lot of us may be asking in light of the events this past week. And it's the issue of God, Jesus, Messiah, Emmanuel, God in the flesh, Rabbi, Master, Leader, when is it that you're going to uproot evil? When is it that you're going to set everything right? When is it that we're going to see your kingdom come and everything put in order? It's a question they had. It's a question every Jew had, because the Jewish people believed that when Messiah came, he would set everything right. And that because of his coming, righteousness would reign. So let me give you an example. Now, here is a messianic prophecy, a prophecy written by Isaiah about the coming Messiah. And this is what Jews believed would happen when Messiah came. Now, in a few moments, we're going to read the parable that we're going to unpack. But I'm just going to ask now, if you'd stand and honor God's word as I read here this morning. This is found in Isaiah chapter 11, starting in verse 4. It says, he, meaning the Messiah, he will give justice to the poor. He will make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked. And he will wear righteousness like a belt and truth like a garment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we turn to you now. And God, as we can read those words, that prophecy about what Messiah would establish, God, it can stir something in our hearts that say, that's good and that's right and that's what we long for. And God, I pray that you would this morning open our eyes to see and our hearts to receive that truth deep inside of us. Because Messiah did come to do those things. And those things will happen. But sometimes your kingdom doesn't operate the way we think it should. So give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us ears to hear, so that when we leave this morning, we could say, the Lord has spoken. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. If you love the Lord, say amen this morning. Amen. Amen. You could be seated. So the Jewish people believed that when Messiah came, he would make everything right, that he was going to come with an army. Whether it was an angelic army, it was a human army, they didn't care. But they believed that when Messiah came, he would free them from oppression. It happened to be the oppression at this moment in history, that when Jesus was alive, that it was the Romans. But he would free them from their oppressors. He would destroy the wicked and the evil and the darkness that's all over the world, and that he would establish a kingdom that would be the hallmark of which would be righteousness. That there wouldn't be evil, there wouldn't be suffering, there wouldn't be pain. And so now you've got Jesus' closest followers, and they say, we believe you're Messiah. And yet, where's the army? We believe you're Messiah, and yet we haven't seen your kingdom established. What's going on? Help us to understand. When will all this happen? And again, in light of what's happened this past week, some of us who have faith in Jesus Christ, who have lived for him and served him, in light of the headlines, or maybe in light of the personal headlines, has nothing to do with the death and the assassination of Charlie Kirk. It has to do with the doctor's report. It has to do with the financial situation that you're facing because someone cheated or lied or abused you or took advantage of you. And you say, God, when are you going to make all this right? And so Jesus knew they had that question. And as Jesus typically does, he gives them a response, but it's not the response that they thought they were going to get. Jesus actually tells them a parable. So I want to read this parable in Matthew chapter 13. Now, not all of Jesus' parables does he give a personal explanation, but some of them he does. So we're going to read the parable, and then we're going to read how he explains part of the parable to them. So starting in chapter 13, verse 24, Jesus is speaking. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed seeds among the wheat. And when the wheat sprouted and produced grain, the weeds also appeared. His servants came and said, "Master, didn't you sow good seed? Then where did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" meaning the weeds, they asked. "No," he said, "because when you pull up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat. Let them both grow together until the harvest." Someone say until. Until. There will be a point when it will get uprooted. Let them grow together until the harvest. Then I will tell the reapers, "Go gather the weeds and tie them in bundles and burn them in the fire, and collect the wheat and put it in my barn." And so he tells some other parables, and then the crowds kind of disperse, and he leaves them, and he goes inside, and it says he left the crowds and he went in a house with his disciples, and they said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds." He replied, "The one who sows is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, when the harvester and the harvesters are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels and gather all who cause sin and do evil, and they will be thrown into a blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom." So Jesus tells this parable, and his followers don't get it. They're like, "What meaneth thou this? We don't understand. We're confused." And the reason they're confused is because often when Jesus tells a parable about the kingdom, he says, "Now the kingdom of heaven is like this. The kingdom of God is like this." And the reason it confuses them is because the kingdom of heaven often, usually, doesn't operate the way we think it should operate. And so they hear this and they go, "But Isaiah said Messiah would uproot evil. And you're saying don't uproot evil, at least not now. And we don't understand." And so we come to faith and we give our lives to Christ and we become Christians. And we think that the kingdom should operate in us, that life should now go well, that we shouldn't have struggles, that God will bless us, and that we'll walk in his grace and his favor, and his hand of protection will be upon us, and he'll be our front guard and rear guard, and that he'll bless our coming and our going, and we'll be the head and not the tail, because those are all the promises of the scripture. And yet there are times as followers of Christ where we don't feel blessed, we feel stressed. And even though the word tells us that Jesus will always lead us in victory, there's times we feel defeated. And even though we know that the Bible tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, there are moments where I don't feel like I'm winning, but I'm losing. Because the kingdom doesn't always operate the way we want it to operate. And part of the reason is that we have to understand, Jesus came to establish his kingdom. And so Jesus came, and by his life, his death, and his resurrection, he began to establish his kingdom here on earth. And then after his resurrection, 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is poured out, and the church is birthed, and his kingdom is beginning to be established here on earth. And so because of that, we can enter into, as followers of Christ, his kingdom. We can get, our sins are forgiven. We're saved. We're born again. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We are in his kingdom. But here's what we have to understand. The kingdom of heaven is here, but not fully. The kingdom of heaven is here, but it's not yet fully here. Sometimes we're like the disciples. Messiah's here. How come his kingdom reign hasn't started? We say his kingdom is here. How come he hasn't rooted out all evil? Because his kingdom's here, but it's not fully here. So let me give you an understanding of this. In the military, they will send out oftentimes a convoy of vehicles. Now, a convoy, I didn't serve in the military. I did some research. A convoy can be a few vehicles, and it can be hundreds and hundreds of vehicles. So a convoy can stretch for miles and miles and miles, 10, 20, 30 miles. So now here I am in a city waiting for the army convoy to arrive. And the first vehicle gets there. And you know what I say? The convoy has arrived. It has. It absolutely has. But it's not yet fully arrived. Not until all the vehicles get here, not until all of them get there, has the convoy fully arrived. And so, yes, the kingdom of heaven is here, and we can be saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, but we're not walking in the fullness of the kingdom because his kingdom has yet to fully arrive. And so that means we have to live in a day and a time where there is still evil, there is still wickedness, there are still people who do horrible, violent, wicked things. And like the Jews, we say, I can't wait until righteousness is the hallmark of this world. I mean, what a wonderful thought. No murderers, no rapists, no pedophiles, no abusers. Nobody that's gonna lie, cheat, steal, defame, slander, gossip. All those things gone. Oh, I can't wait for that. And when his kingdom fully arrives, we'll have that. But until then, there's gonna be weeds all around us. There will be evil and wickedness and things that cause us to have angst and frustration. And we read the headlines and we say, why are people being shot and killed and murdered? This is a horrible reality. But what we have to remember, what Jesus is telling us, is don't forget how it ends. I know in the middle, it's hard. And you're in the middle. My kingdom has come, but it's not yet fully here. And so because it's not yet fully here, you're in the middle. And because you're in the middle, it's difficult. Because you're in the middle, there's hardships. Because you're in the middle of the story and you haven't reached the end of the story, you're surrounded by some things that you don't want to be surrounded with. But because we know how the story ends, it gives us the strength to endure the middle of the story. That's Jesus' point. You can get through this because you know how it ends. So don't be discouraged. Don't lose faith. Don't give up. Right now, you're in the middle. So what are some insights we can glean from this parable? Here's the first one, that our world is impacted by two kingdoms. The kingdom of this world, the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of evil, right? The devil is the enemy of God. So we've got that kingdom, and then we've got the kingdom of heaven. And they are at odds with one another. It's one of the reasons that Jesus tells us in the Lord's Prayer, pray like this, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because your kingdom has come, but it's not yet fully here. And so we've got this clash of kingdoms. So pray for kingdom reign, for kingdom rule, for kingdom ideals. So we've got these two kingdoms that are overlapped on this world. See, way back in Genesis 3, after God created everything and he puts man and woman in the garden and he says, be fruitful and multiply. All of a sudden, the enemy of our souls, the devil, God's enemy, shows up. And the kingdom of this world begins to seep into this earth because they listen to his lies and they disobey God. And the kingdom of darkness begins to seep in. And he's been telling those lies and guiding people and influencing people into dark deeds and evilness ever since. And so he sows, because our enemy is still out there working, sowing seeds of lies and deceit into our hearts, into our thoughts, into our minds, into our actions, and into our behaviors. Because we live where there's two kingdoms that overlap. Now, it's interesting to me, in that parable that Jesus tells, he says, while everyone was sleeping, the enemy came in and sowed seed. It's the one thing that Jesus doesn't explain. Who were those that were sleeping? We don't know. We can speculate, but that's not gonna do us a lot of good. But it does give us an insight. It does give us something to understand, that the enemy will come in when we are not paying attention. And he'll come in and he will sow things into your heart and into your life and into your marriage and into your family and into your community and into your workplace. He's gonna try and sow all those seeds. And so listen to me, especially some of you parents. You are so exhausted because you both have to work. You're so exhausted because you have to build this new business. You're so exhausted because you're coming and going and doing and accomplishing. And you're so exhausted because you're planning these big vacations and these big experiences that your family has to have. And you're so exhausted that you're driving your kids to every blessed event, every sport, every activity, and you never tell them no. And you're so exhausted that you're falling asleep and the enemy is coming in and he is sowing seed into the hearts and lives of your children. And you say, where did that come from? It came because you were sleeping at the wheel. And so men and women of God, wake up. Wake up. The enemy will sow seed into your hearts and in your lives through the things you watch, through the things you let in, entertainment, things on your phone. Listen, there are weeds out there. Some of your peers or your children's peers are weeds. And you say, we just gotta just be, let little Johnny play with it. No, you don't. If little Johnny is a weed, get him out of there. And you just let him just be impacted by all this evil. I tell parents all the time, if you don't monitor your child's phone, everything on it, then you will answer to God for that. I am telling you without a doubt. You say, but my kids will get mad at me. I don't care. They're your kids. They're not your friends. Stop worrying. Oh, my kid's gonna be mad. I read their text. Read their text. I can't look at their social media posts. You better. You better. Our kids are getting seeds sown into them when they go off to university because we haven't prepared them. You have a responsibility. Wake up. And so we live in this time where the world is influenced by these two kingdoms. And we have to be aware, we have to be awake, and we have to be prepared, but we shouldn't be surprised. I don't have this verse up on the screen, but I want to read something because this is so clear. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. It says, but know this, hard times will come in the last days. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, demeaning, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, slanderers without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, but denying its power to transform their lives. Avoid these people. Listen to me. We live in a world where two kingdoms overlap and we are closer to the last days than ever before. If we know how it ends, we can make it through the middle. But if we're getting close to the end and we know how intense it's gonna get, we can still make it. The next thing is this. Wheat and weeds will grow together. Because we live with these two kingdoms, wheat and weed will grow together. The problem is when we see the weeds, when we see the evil, when we see the wickedness, our default is, but I thought God was good. And if God is good, why is he allowing all this evil? Why is he allowing it? And the reason he allows it, and we're gonna unpack this a little bit, but the reason he allows it is because, what did Jesus say? If you pluck up what you think is a weed, you may damage the wheat. See, he allows it because we are terrible evaluators of wheat versus weed. We think we know. I'm not saying that we can't judge a person by the fruit of their heart, by the fruit of their life, by the way they act. And but we can look at the fruit, but we're terrible evaluators of it. We think we know. So you've got some celebrity, and all of a sudden, they make a profession of faith. And they're a Christian, and they're born again, and they write a book, and they're out there, and we go, oh, praise God for the wheat. And then 6 seconds later, they're on to the next big thing, and they're now a spiritualist, and they deny Jesus, and they fall away, and they begin to live some kind of lifestyle that we don't agree with. And the same people who are praising the wheat now say, yeah, that's a weed in wheat clothing. I mean, they weren't real wheat. I thought they're just a weed. And then 5 years later, there's a social media video of that person being baptized. Rise up out of the water of baptism, a smile on their face, their hands raised to God. And we say, I knew they were weed all along. We don't know. We think we know. And yes, we can judge sometimes by the fruit of their life, but sometimes we just can't tell. And you know why we can't tell? Because it's not harvest time. It's not harvest time. And we get so worried that we got to point out and rip up the wheat. So you've got to songwriter, an amazing songwriter. And they write a worship song or two or 10, and they are absolutely amazing. They move our hearts, they touch us, they bring us to tears. Every church is singing those worship songs, and everybody's like, this is amazing. And then you find out that that songwriter is having an affair and has been covering it up. And we say, that person's a weed. Pull him out. The problem is that person's King David, a man after God's own heart. See, we don't always know the wheat from the weed. And so there's a pastor, an amazing pastor, leading people, walking in faith, trusting God, following Jesus, has a supernatural ministry, absolutely supernatural. And then all of a sudden, their life falls apart. And they deny the faith. They go back to their old way of living, pretty much give up on ministry and forsake Jesus. And we say, they're a weed. No, his name is Peter. And he was restored by Jesus. See, we think, I know who the weeds are and I know who the wheat is. And we start pulling and yanking and we do more damage than good. So we have to trust that Jesus is gonna sort it all out in the end. We have to allow some things to grow together. See, what we wanna do is just get the weeds out. But you know what I've learned? I'm not a gardener. I've got a few raised bed things. I fancy myself a gardener. But you know what I grow more than anything? Weeds. And so I go and I pull the weeds out. And I go back the next day and there's more weeds. And I pull the weeds out, and I go back the next day, and there's more weeds, and I say, I give up. So you pull the weeds out, and the weeds just keep coming back. So what we need to learn is this next insight, and that's this, that the kingdom of heaven can transform a weed into wheat. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to save weeds, and I am the chief among them. He didn't say, you're a weed, you're out. He said, I want to come, and I want to change. I want to impact. I want to have a way in which I can transform a weed into a wheat. So here's Saul, before he ever became Paul. You want to talk about a weed? He hated Jesus, hated the church, persecuted Christians, had him thrown in jail, and clapped when they were murdered. And we would say he's a weed, and God transforms him, changes his name, and he becomes wheat, a pillar of the church who wrote more books in the New Testament. But we're ready to just, so what happens is we just want to rip them out. We just want to pull them out. But we don't know. Are they a weed because they've yet to be encounter the kingdom of heaven? And so we label them all weeds. And so what we say is we need to get the weeds out. Just pull them out. I mean, listen, they have an addiction. They have a same-sex attraction. They're unkind. They're a weed. Get them out of the school. Get them out of my life. Get them out of the church. They have no part here. But maybe, just maybe, if we allow the kingdom of heaven to touch their heart, what we thought was a weed is transformed into wheat. And yet we don't have the patience for it because we want the kingdom now. We want it all now. But I told you, the kingdom has come, but not fully. And so it's in the middle. It's while we're waiting. It's in this season. Before the end, before Jesus comes back, before the wheat and the weed are separated, now is the time when a weed can be made into wheat. And so we have that responsibility. Our responsibility is to go and make disciples. Our responsibility is to teach people about the Lord. Because what we need to realize is this: healthy wheat influences weeds. Healthy wheat, you know, I have talked to people who do landscaping who are so like, they're geeks about it. I mean, they're like, oh, grass seed. I'm like, whatever. I just want a green lawn. I don't care what brand it is. I don't care what flavor. I don't care. Just give me a green lawn. Give me a can of paint. I don't care. I just don't want weeds. And what they'll tell me is this: the best way to get rid of weeds is to grow a healthy lawn. If you have more grass growing, it will choke out the weeds. It will influence the weeds, because the roots of the grass go so deep that it chokes out the life of the weeds. So what am I telling you? That at some point, we have to realize that our job isn't to eliminate the weeds by pulling them out. Our job is to make more wheat, more healthy wheat, wheat that goes down deep, wheat that influences the weeds around us, that we are called to see the kingdom of God as an invasion on this earth, where our light shines in the darkness, where our lives influence weeds to become wheat. It's called the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Jesus says, go into all the world and pull up weeds. Go into all the world and rip out anyone who's in public office that's a weed, and everything will be better. Go into all the world and make sure every superintendent, teacher, and guidance counselor has the worldview that you agree with, and everything will be good. Go into all the world and eliminate and rip out and tear out everyone that's not a Christian, everyone that does evil, everyone that does sin, everyone that does wickedness. And this world will be changed. No, he says, go into all the world and make disciples of all people, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. In other words, the way forward is always discipleship. If we want to influence the weeds of this world, which we're called to do, it's by having a heart that says, I want to change those around me. We need more wheat, and we need healthy wheat, so that the wheat influences the weed, and the weed becomes a disciple, and that disciple now lives as wheat and then goes and makes more wheat. And so we're like the disciples. I don't know if you remember this, right? Jesus is walking with his disciples, and they're in Samaria, and the Samarians don't accept Jesus as Messiah. And so his followers are like, hey, listen, should we call down fire from heaven to burn them up? And Jesus is like, I've been with you for how long? And you want to burn them up? And so we say to Jesus, hey, how do we get rid of all these evil, wicked, vile people? Should we just pluck them out of our places of work and pull them out of education and make sure they know how bad and vile they are? Should we burn them up? And Jesus goes, how long have you been following me? Don't you get it yet? See, rather than being worried about calling down fire from heaven to burn up the weeds, what we need to do is cry out to God for a fire from heaven to ignite a passion in our hearts to reach weeds for Christ. But it's easy. It's easy to live going around trying to pluck out weeds. I can point out to all the evil things around me and say, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like him. I don't like her. I don't like their lifestyle. I don't like their worldview. I don't like their political party. I don't like. They're evil. They're bad. Pull them out. But that's not the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed. And he said, let the weeds and the wheat grow together. I'll sort it out in the end. It's not your job. It's not your responsibility. What you need to do is influence the weeds so that they, in this time, can hear my message, respond to it. And weeds can become wheat. But here's what I've learned. It's easier to point out weeds than to grow wheat. It is so much easier. Absolutely. Listen, it's easier to say that person. It's easier to rage against culture and society and government and those that we don't like and those that we don't agree with. It is so much easier to spend your life pointing out weeds, circling them, painting them. I won't rip them out. I'll just drop some poison on them because, you know, Jesus said don't pull them out, but I can kill them. And I know some of you are thinking, I would never kill them. You don't have to kill them physically. I'm not talking about that. We can cancel them. We can demean them. We can dehumanize them. We can say, you have no part of me because you're a weed. But Jesus said, you've got to grow together. See, it says he planted his good seed. He's planted you somewhere in your neighborhood, at your workplace, on your team, in your classroom, in your marriage, with your family. He's planted you somewhere, and he's planted you there not to go around and point out all the weeds, let them know just how weedy they are. He planted you there so that you could influence them with the kingdom of God that's inside of you, that's living in you, moving out of you, so that maybe, just maybe, they would experience the love and the grace of God, and that weed would become wheat. So you have that coworker, and you work with them 40 plus hours a week. And just the way they breathe. I mean, you just can't believe the life that they live, the things that they say, the way they behave. And it is terrible. And it makes your skin crawl. And you don't know how to respond. And so you know what you can do? You can work real hard to try and get that person moved and get a new coworker. Or you can say, here's an opportunity for me as wheat to influence someone who's not. And you can work real hard and say, maybe I just need to get out of this place. Maybe I just need to escape. Maybe I need to find a new job and a new location and a new office and a new position. And I just need to get out of here. Or you could cry out, God, allow this place to be that place where heaven invades earth. Because you might be the only Jesus they ever see. And so you have a responsibility. It's far easier to point out the weeds than to make disciples. But I'm telling you, making a disciple, helping a weed become wheat, is so much better. I believe it is the call of the church. And we've missed it so often. One of the things that we say around here sometimes is that we want to see people that attend on a Sunday morning. How do we make a weed into it? Part of it is by attending. Right, you gather together with brothers and sisters in Christ, and you worship God, and you're challenged, and you hear the word, and you pray for one another, and you encourage one another. But it's not just attending, it's also serving. How do I serve in the body of Christ? How do I serve the person sitting next to me? How do I serve a stranger? Whether it's serving in the four walls of the church on a Sunday or a Wednesday night with our student ministry or our kids' clubs, or whether it's serving through one of our ministry partners and reaching out in the community. If I want to grow as a disciple, I need to attend, I need to serve. I also need to connect. I need to be connected with others beyond just a Sunday morning. Whether it's attending a connect group, whether it's meeting for a Bible study somewhere, praying with each other. How do I connect deeply with others? Then it's also giving. How do I give? Because Jesus says where your treasure is, there your heart is. I have to give and give faithfully and consistently. Because we so often will hold back that thing and we won't give it to God, whether it's our finances, whether it's some idol in our lives. And God says, you have to give that. If you want to be my disciple, you have to give that. You have to trust me with that. And so Jesus so often correlates our money with our faithfulness to him. And then finally, we have to share. We have to share our faith. If you want to know if you're growing as a disciple, are you attending? Are you serving? Are you connecting? Are you giving? And are you sharing? Because sharing your faith, making disciples, telling people about the goodness of God is not optional. It's required. So here's my question for you as we wrap up. Are you more passionate about pulling out weeds, or are you passionate about making disciples? What are you more passionate about? I think so often we're more passionate about pulling out weeds. We got to get them out of government, get them out of the school system, get them out of entertainment. We got to get them out of our lives. We got to get them all gone. Because if we get rid of all the weeds, then life will be good. Listen, the kingdom has not yet fully come. There will come a day. I promise you, there will come a day. Jesus promises us there will come a day when every weed will be uprooted. And those who do evil and those who sin and those who violate and those who are violent and those who are unrepentant and those who are wicked and evil, they'll all be dealt with. But that's not now. We're in the middle. And because his kingdom hasn't yet fully come, and because we're living in the middle, we have that opportunity, because it's in the middle where weeds can become wheat. But it only happens if you and I will take serious our responsibility to go and make wheat. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and I pray that you would stir in us a settledness that says right now, weeds and wheat are growing together. A settledness that says right now, there's gonna be evil. There's gonna be wickedness. But it doesn't have to overcome. Because at the end of the story, we know it doesn't. So we don't need to be discouraged. We don't need to walk in despair. We don't need to lose our peace. We know how the story ends. So give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to make it through the middle. Not just get out. But God, while we're in the middle of the story, to influence the weeds around us, to be part of your kingdom that sees weeds turn to wheat, so that your house may be full, your barn may be overflowing with wheat. And God, it would be a testimony to your goodness. Would you stand now and let's worship him together.